You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And I truly, truly believe that your identity, you know, kind of what you consistently do every day at practice when no one's watching, it's you, your brothers, your coaches, all that kind of stuff, man, that stuff shows up on game day.
In today's clinic series from the D3 Top 25 Clinic, Coach Luke Butts, former defensive coordinator at Lake Forest and current head coach at Westminster College, shares his expertise on building a strong defensive identity. Coach Butts delves into the key elements of an elite defense, emphasizing the importance of effort, tackling, and takeaways. He shares the strategies and philosophies that have led to success on the field and helped his team focus on creating a culture of excellence and continuous improvement. This past season, his defense led all of NCAA Division III in scoring defense, third down percentage, total defense, and pass efficiency defense. The success has led Coach Butts being named one of the five finalists for the 2023 Football Scoop Division III Coordinator of the Year Award. He covered all of the important aspects of building identity on defense and how those translate to on-field excellence. We'll share our winning edge takeaways after this clinic segment, and links to the D3 Top 25 Clinic replays are in the show notes. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes.
All right, guys. Well, this is our last presentation of the D3 Top 25 Clinic. I hope to do this again. We've had some incredible coaches here from all over the country, guys who just do a great job teaching the game, coaching the game, building culture, all those things. I certainly have a bias about the coaching that these guys do at the D3 level. Having been a D3 coach myself, I know you have to wear a lot of hats, but that means you also get a lot of experience and get good at things. And, you know, we're excited to conclude with Luke Butts, who is now the head coach at Westminster College. This past season, he was the defensive coordinator at Lake Forest. We had head coach of Lake Forest, Jim Catanzaro, on the podcast recently. And Lake Forest was number one in defense this year in a number. I'll give you the rundown here in a second, but a number of categories. And I could say this, both of these guys are very humble about it and talk about the kids and the staff and everybody who's a part of it. So we're excited to have Luke talk about the things that he does to build an identity on defense. And again, just running down those Lake Forest numbers. Number one total defense, number one scoring defense, number one third down defense, number one first down defense, number one passing efficiency defense, number two in defensive TDs, number five passing yards allowed, number seven rushing defense, number 13 in passes intercepted. So across the board, high level play and elite defense, and we're excited to have Coach here wrapping up the clinic for us. So Coach, we'll turn it over to you.
Keith, I appreciate it. Appreciate it. So grateful for the opportunity. Wanted to start making sure. Going through with some thank yous, obviously, re-echoing to Keith. Obviously, what he does for our great game through the Coaching Coordinator Podcast, this clinic, an opportunity for me. I know with the podcast, me having some six-hour-plus drives now, every once in a while, I'd go back from Fulton back up to Lake Forest. If it's not a time to call recruits, depending on time of day, it's definitely the podcast I throw on there for the long drive. So appreciate you. Big believer, kind of hitting off of what he talked about, that you went with people. So wanted to make sure to give a big thank you to the staff at Lake Forest. Staff at Lake Forest, Randy Wright, our defensive line coach, did an absolutely phenomenal job with our guys up front. Talented group, disciplined group, coachable group, and it all starts up front, obviously. So him, Coach Ramel Samuel, Coach Jeff Knutsman, all working up front with us. Coach Eanes, Coach Tabey, myself, working with the linebackers. Coach Green, working with our secondary. And then our head coach, Coach Cat, providing the opportunity, the staple for what we did defensively at Lake Forest. And then obviously to our players. Need good players to win. I believe you need good culture to win. And kudos to those guys, man. I was telling Keith, they made a lot of fun to show up to work each and every day. Coachable, work hard. The two primary things when we're identifying and recruiting our current guys, those are the two things that we want. Spend more time with those guys than we do our own family. And they sure made a lot of fun. So appreciative with those guys. And again, you win with people. And I think for me, the culture piece, what we're trying to do down here at Westmo, kind of what we did there, I believe for true success, the alignment from top down, head coach, coordinators, your position coaches, your players, having the buy-in across the board. And then I think for us, it was a big thing we're trying to do this down here is just making it about we and the greater good of the program. And I think for us, you look at what I think is a little unique, team stats that are very, 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 very successful. I'm very proud of those. Players proud of those, but no individual category from a stat perspective were we elite by any stretch of the imagination. But 11 guys on the field at one time, our defense collectively playing elite, our staff completely bought in. And I think it's kind of the necessary thing that you have to be able to do just to give you a chance for that success if you want it at the elite level. The original transition when I went to defensive coordinator years ago, for me, it was trying to figure out how do we create our identity without changing the scheme. Scheme is established. What do we want to be able to do? And I think naturally, a large part of what we're going to talk about is not necessarily going to be reinvent the wheel, so to speak, but kind of our touch, our flavor, our philosophy on how we try to achieve that, right? So we kind of want to be able to shift towards the vision, the standards defensively as it relates without changing scheme. How does it impact and affect our effort, our tackling, our ability to go attack the football? As our three things that, hey, we're going to live and die by these three things, regardless of scheme. So it's that culture over scheme piece of, if we want to be great, 3-4, 4-2, you name it, we have to be able to make sure that we handle these three things. And if we don't, we don't give ourselves a chance. So my big thing in terms of kind of echoing what we're trying to do down here, what we did up there is being able to identify whatever the things are that are important to you, your foundation, your columns, your pillars, however you want to be able to look at them. And then be able to associate with those things what are going to kind of be your standards. So for me, kind of an influence that I had through my master's program, actually down here at Mizzou when I was online, grit, resiliency, mental toughness class. And this class kind of, this quote in here, kind of viewed resiliency as a virtue arrived upon through habituated action in line with the virtue of resilience. So I kind of took that piece and I said, okay, if to be resilient, we got to be not just Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but we're not on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever the case may be. It's an all-the-time thing. And so for us, how do we become a championship-level defense? Well, we arrive to that level through habituated action in line with what it takes to be a conference championship defense. So we wanted to be able to identify with those three standards, what are the consistent daily habits, those actions that we have to do on a daily basis just to give ourselves a chance, that habitual action. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit. And the foundation of why this resonates for me, why I continue to use this in my philosophy in the program down here at Westmo is I love this because it talks about, okay, let's replace resiliency, championship defense. Okay, what about being a great student? You're going to be a great student by habitually acting in line with what it takes to be a great student. So what are our standards for our kids, right? We don't need to spend a lot of time on this. We could be here for hours. But okay, going to class, turning your stuff in on time, showing up for your academic meeting, being prepared, yada, yada, yada. Your relationships, how you interact with people, so on and so forth. But where I really love the foundational piece of this is now let's kind of translate that to the big picture of why you go to school in the first place, right? To be a student athlete. If I want to be a great employee, I'm going to become a great employee because I habitually act in line with what it takes to be a great employee. Define what those are to each and, you know, everybody else. Perfect. Okay. Now let's translate that to be, hey, I want to be a great husband, right? And it ain't easy, but I have to habitually act in line with what it takes to be a great husband. I want to be a great father. And this is something that key for me, because I got my three kids right now, my three baby girls up north right now and not with them. And so appreciative to my wife, kids, you know, allowing me the opportunity to be down here away from them for weeks at a time to try to establish this culture, this foundation down here at Westminster. But I just love the foundation to be able to use football as the vehicle for our young athletes that we coach. And I love the game because I get to kind of instill this foundational piece that I think is going to carry them for success after no longer in our program. And so this is kind of something that's powerful to me, true to me, and kind of where a lot of this stuff came from. So when we talked about one of the things that I think everybody needs to do, you have to be able to take a collaborative approach. So I had, okay, effort, tackling, takeaways, so on and so forth. But that summer prior to our fall camp, as we're trying to identify and kind of work through everything, we had summer staff meetings, I want to say probably, probably every Thursday night. And we'd be down there, I'd buy some pizza, whatever, kind of hang out and just kind of work through this. So naturally, we needed to make sure that anything and everything that we did, we had the common shared language. You talk about buy-in, you talk about alignment, it has to be that way. So that's a focal point. Now let's discuss exactly what our standards are in relation to effort, tackling, so on and so forth. Let's provide them the autonomy. I think this is great. This is what I want to present. What do you think are the issues that we could have as we kind of work through this? I remember one kind of working through it. I'll show you the board. We'll get to it. One of our assistant coaches, it was all, you know, negative, 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 no loafs, this, that, whatever. And he said, well, we got to have a section coach where we can provide the top highlight plays, the top effort plays. We got the negative, we got the positive. And again, I think providing that is not only crucial because, hey, we don't have all the answers ourselves anyways. But when you talk about creating that buy-in, kind of building into that next point, giving some ownership and some claim to the rest of your staff to be able to provide value so that they have that autonomy, you provide the alignment, I think was one of the coolest things that we did. So when you look at it, the buy-in stump, every coach on defense that summer, as we're working through what we're trying to accomplish culture-wise and our foundation, what we're trying to do, had something that stuck. So somebody had Coach Cat responsible kind of for the naming of it. We had Coach Nicklich for the negative-positive deal. We had somebody with, hey, well, we're going to write loafs on the board. It's the old Don Brown, those guys about the traitor stuff. When we write up the negatives in the board and other teams' colors, right? All these little different things. And the coolest freaking thing that I had that summer as we're working into it, you talk about the board creation. And you'll end up seeing it, kind of working through it. But the board creation stuff that we did to be able to track this stuff as it relates to nothing but effort for the most part, I actually didn't do anything. I just sat there, watched, provided feedback, and I watched every assistant that we had chip in together and work to be able to create this thing. So I think when you work in it, trying to have that success that you want, providing the autonomy, something that we're doing with our players down here, and trying to create the buy-in and giving that voice for that ownership piece to really have this thing take off, I think is critical as you're working through it. So, all right, let's talk about effort, trying to define this. So now what are our standards? So you talk about culture-wise, hey, no loafs, all that kind of stuff. We always, in my opinion, when you work about, hey, this is the belief, what are the standards? We have to clearly define what those things are, right? So when we talk about defensive football, first and foremost, when the ball's gone, you're gone. Easy. Ball gone, you're gone. That change of speed, that direction, it's instantaneous. Everything that we talk about to our guys, when the ball's gone, you're gone, you are shot out of a cannon. So our players, when you talk about buzzwords, things that we talk about, that's one of those pieces. We're going to talk about getting our five in. When we practice and we talk about getting our five in, when the ball's gone, you're gone. But your first five steps are you shot out of that cannon full freaking tilt. One of the biggest reasons that we kind of talk about, okay, well, why five? All right. So when we look at this thing, if we're talking about, hey, we're in 7-on-7, 2-3 seconds, boom, set hit, ball's thrown. By the time ball's gone, and you get your five legit steps in, we're going to probably be in the range of 4 to 6 seconds for that play. And we want to habitually act and train exactly like the average length of a play in a football game. So when we talk about getting our five in, that's what that's going to kind of hopefully help habitually train that our guys are training exactly what it's going to be like on Saturday. That stress, that inoculation, that stress, you name it. So that's kind of the five. Do I still want you to get all the way across the field to the rest of the defense in 7-on-7 and get a break? Yes. But after your five, you're able to throttle that sucker down and get there to get your break. One of the big things, having played defensive back, you know, hey, you're in this deep third, the ball, it's 7-on-7, no pass rush. It keeps four verts going the opposite side of the field. And coach is yelling at you to run 50 yards. And I just tell the guys, if I'm training you to run 50 yards full freaking tilt all the time, it's probably not for a good thing. We're not going to have the success that we had and all that type of deal. But that's going to be our five in kind of the philosophy, the thought process of, for us, why five? The biggest strain on our guys with the five is going to be our pass rushers. So you're going to be able to rush the passer. Ball's gone. You're gone. So you got to get back through the line of scrimmage where you started, plus your five in. And I think when you talk about training that, working on that, and you watch it show up on tape, those habits, those actions that we're talking about, I think obviously a very, very big key to why we had success. Getting passed by another player, self-explanatory for the most part, but obviously there's asterisks to it. If I got a 4-4 corner and he's flying by a 5-4 linebacker because he's in the same group as him, so be it. Everybody can make kind of their own unique thing to that. Following the same color jersey in pursuit. This is actually something that I struggled at coaching. I kind of self-reflection the previous kind of couple seasons that I did a terrible job on as a coach of, we're coaching effort, we're training effort, we're getting the effort, but now we have to be able to take that next step to make sure that it's the appropriate effort at the right levels, at the different pass, you name. So it's something that I think we got better at. You'll see some clips on there where it was good, where it wasn't good, all that type of stuff. And then trying to make sure if the effort piece is going to be kind of the full thing of what you're trying to be able to accomplish, but it's also tackling and taking the football away. If we're not getting attempted takeaways, and this is a thing in terms of why, in my opinion, when you talk about alignment, our guys would punch, rake at the football within the tempo, the prescribed drill, all that type of stuff, making offensive guys, all that kind of deal. But when you have a head coach who's an offensive coordinator who's on board for this because he understands the advantageousness of it as it relates to how you're going to show up on Saturday, that was huge for us and huge for our guys. Whistle blow, not all that type of stuff. It's just those actions, those habits, trying to work through there.
As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One of the things that we added kind of after year one that was a big kind of bugaboo for me is, hey, when we get to 7-on-7 tag tempo periods, and it's hard as heck to coach tackling. I think it's the next slide and we'll kind of work through it. But man, it's in the modern era of limited practice, limited full pads, all that kind of stuff. But everybody, hey, it comes down to blocking and tackling, all that type of stuff, which I think is true. How the heck do you actually get good at it when the rules and the restrictions and all that type of stuff are a challenge for you? So for us, one of those things, if the ball gets caught out in space, there's a time to take your shot. There's a time to not. There's a time to always be closing, working distance. But now, can you play with posture? Or can you not? Is your head tilt down? All those types of things. So when we get in the tag tempo periods, even though we can't work the actual contact piece, we can track, we can bend, we can have our eyes where they need to be, we can have our leverage, and we can still step into the Madden circle, play with our hands, and have the posture that we're going to have to play with on a Saturday. So that's one of those other big pieces of, okay, hey, when we're defining loafs as it relates to effort, trying to include the actual true effort piece, the tackling piece, and the ability to go attack the football throughout practice. Tackling, we'll kind of breeze through some of this stuff. I love it. I'm passionate about it. I've studied a lot of it, learned from a lot of different people. Again, everything goes back to the autonomy piece, having that shared language. So near foot, near shoulder, what's your arrowhead? What's your clamp? Cleats in the ground, step in the Madden circle. If our cleats aren't in the ground, we're getting both hips in the ground, so on and so forth. We have to be consistent in our messages, coaches, across the board. And even when we coach up special teams, all that kind of stuff, making that translate even for the offensive guys so that way it's always consistent from start to finish in their career with us. Again, I go back to the posture piece. It's, hey, college, 20 practices or so, whatever the case may be before you play your first game, and you got to be able to tackle at an elite level if you want to have success right from the jump. So I think it's one of the toughest pieces. We need a lot of work on it. We're still not where we need to be. But getting into a position, understanding that you have limited contact days, limited full, limited this, limited that, how can you actually make the most of it, right? So we talked to guys in that 7-on-7 stuff with the posture. If you get 3 plays of 7-on-7, but 2 of them came to you and you could work the tracking from point A to point B up until the point of contact, that's an actual opportunity where you can work your what? Your tackling. Even though you don't get that piece, that finish, that contact all the way throughout. Making sure that if it's important to you, you have to get better at it. How can you steal without the core structure of a practice within the rules, the framework, your practice tempos, the actual true ability to win, even if you only get 1, 2 reps, whatever, you're making the most of it. So I think something big for us that we consistently are trying to work through. When we talk about leverage, near foot, near shoulder, I think everything when we talk about, okay, what is that tackling? Yeah, is it Blue Jay tackling? Is it Forster tackling? Is it Seahawk tackling? Whatever. As you're working through it, at the simplest term of what we always talk about is it's going to be leverage-based. Am I an inside-out guy? Am I an outside-in guy? Am I a force defender? So on and so forth. So for us, we talk, stopping the tape, looking at this, where's your leverage? Where's your help? So on and so forth, to just always make sure when you take your shot, at what leverage do you take it? Do you own your leverage? And how do we now, when we play with great effort, minimize the explosives in the yak, even if we do end up missing tackles? So we basically, at least once a week, just flying through in a 5-minute circuit in terms of leverage, where we'll have all the donuts out there. We'll work inside out. We'll work outside in. We'll work profile, depending on the week. Or if we even have enough time, we'll actually go true angle tackle when we're driving, cleats on the ground, staying square. Square is power. Working from there, and then also making sure we're getting the wrap and roll tackle on there as well. So in implementation of it, a lot of the stuff that we talked about, whether it's unique or not, we were a fast Friday team, so we walked through on Thursdays. We practiced in the weight room first, on the field on Fridays, fast, explosive tempo, and we did our tackling stuff every Friday before we did anything else defensively. Nothing new. If it's an important thing to you, you better work it every day, so we're getting that drill work in positionally. And then a goal from us in terms of every game, what we're trying to accomplish tackling is going to be less than 10% a game. In terms of attacking the football, I think one of the coolest things, probably the thing at the bottom here in terms of that our guys are appreciated, liked, and it kind of put an emphasis to it. But again, that shared language, are we a rake team, a rip team, a pry team, whatever the case may be. If we're going to say rake and rip are the same thing, let's just make sure that our coaching staff's in alignment that, hey, this is a rake, this is a rip. Keep it simple. You talk about the buzzwords. We're always talking to our guys. When we're putting pads on people, we're punching. Pads and punch, pads and punch, pads and punch. The ATs, we're trying to get our attempted takeaways. Again, the daily drill work, the fill the board, we'll get to that. I wanted to be able to track and tally our attempted takeaways, our missed takeaways from start to finish, because I wanted to be able to have some data. Never really got to it per se in terms of being able to track it from start to finish, but I'm just that classic defensive guy that every time you miss a takeaway for some reason, you feel like you give up 6 points the next day. So I wanted to be able to try to have some data to back up my selfish viewpoint. One of the coolest things I think that we did, if it's important to you, the social media stuff. Anytime anybody on defense got a takeaway, whether it was versus scout team stuff, 7-on-7, good versus good, whatever the case may be, at the end of practice, and our guys freaking loved it. They'd go up to Coach Taby. He was kind of director of, let's call it social media coordinating ops of our Rock Standard photos. They'd go over to him, get fun, get goofy, all that type of stuff, and just enjoyed it. Send it to me, get it out on Twitter with our hashtag and kind of go from there. And if the ball is a program, it's important to you. Being able to showcase that out in public a little bit in terms of who's doing some good. And I think there's actually another added bonus to it that we can touch on later when we kind of work through it. So trying to fly through that a little bit. But our kind of motto, our credence down here, the Rock Standard stuff that when I was at Lake Forest is, think about earlier, right? What are we trying to accomplish day in and day out? Set excellence to the standards of which we put in place, our habits, our actions. So for us, when we define, okay, what's work here? work simple in terms of I truly believe you have to be able to put it in to actually give yourself a chance at success at anything you do in life. And that's just a chance. And so for us, when we talk about work, it's an opportunity to respond to our standards every day so that we can continuously improve and get better, right? That's kind of the quick, brief nutshell of kind of, hey, what's work about? So every day, an opportunity for us, the posture stuff, the effort piece, kind of working through it, to be able to develop those habits on a consistent basis that are going to give us a chance to at least be competitive, to win championships, to do whatever it is in terms of the current situation that you're at. Day, but we didn't on this day, and we did one-on-ones. It's not always hammering in on this, hammering in on that, all that type of stuff. But our goal each and every day, we're trying to be at 95%. And I think the best thing is, hey, everybody, well, you should be at 100. I'm not necessarily disagreeing, but listen, we've all been there. We have bad days. Exam, relationship piece, all that kind of stuff. And we're coaches. We're trying to change the mindset and understand, hey, when you step on the field, you leave all that stuff behind. But some days, man, it is what it is, and it just happens. So our individual and collective goal of what we were trying to accomplish on a daily basis was that 95%. As we're working through it, we identified those trying to hit that 95, but we wanted to make sure when you start to train and educate and kind of work through it, how do you get to a point where now, hey, I see my loafs, but I'm going to go down to that bottom section. I'm going to see the top effort plays of the day. And I'm going to see Mark Rice on play 12 of team. This dude ran 75 yards by himself, running around the quarterback, chasing a screen. It was a big play, and he's the guy that makes the play 40 yards down the field. Whatever the case may be, right? We want to be able to say, okay, this is where we know it ain't good enough. It ain't up to the standard, but hey, take a look at these five plays to see this is what we're talking about. This is who we are. This is what we're about. These are the habits that we're habitually trying to build day in and day out. So when we go into this in training camp as a coaching staff, we grade. We have to be able to set the standard, identify the standard. And one thing I thought we did early when we were doing this, spending more time in camp of just, all right, defensive as a whole, we're going to watch team whatever. And we're going to go through and we're going to grade position by position for five clips before we break out into individual. Identify, highlight, educate, and do our job as coaches to teach and educate in terms of what's good, what's bad, and so on and so forth, so they get that visual piece from the tape. I probably failed as the defensive coordinator this past year of doing that enough. One of those things when you have a senior heavy crew that's been through this season after season, I probably needed to make sure I did a much better job of being able to do that, right? And for our younger kids and that development piece, so on and so forth. But being able to set that standard, it's our job to make sure when we leave camp, that standard, that execution, those habits that we want to see on a daily basis on the tape when we eval, they consistently show up. Where I think the beauty, the power, where we had a lot of our success, when you now talk about going to in season, it shifts from the coaching staff who set the standard, the expectations in training camp to our players, right? So our players on Tuesday and Wednesday practices, on average, I think the last couple of years, we had 40, 44 guys on defense, something like that. So simple math, we had about four players per week. So me as a starting defensive tackle, me as a fourth team defensive tackle, I had to grade one Tuesday and Wednesday practice the entire season. So in the summer, we kind of divvy it up. We divide it out. We really try to have and assign a senior kind of each week, a guy who's been through the ringer. He understands the standards. He understands what he's looking for. And he's a guy who's passionate about it, who can educate the younger guys, not just in his position group, but at every position, to make sure that we are having that peer leadership, that peer mentorship that we want to be able to help our program continue to grow in. So our players every week would grade Tuesday, Wednesday practices. I think when you start to talk ownership, and everybody talks about in terms of culture, when you have this, it's player-led stuff that have the greatest success. So for us, this was one of our, I guess, cheat codes, if you will, of really putting the ownership on them to watch the tape as a group of four, assign the loafs, identify the top effort plays, what are our takeaways at, and be able to now put that on a board so that way when this defensive back shows up the next day and he sees that he's got 10 loafs from yesterday's practice, it's not from me. It's from the senior that's in the linebacker position group who's saying, hey, bro, this ain't good enough. And I think there's power in that. I think that ownership piece, it's always going to carry and translate to a greater success. So I think it's something that we were very, very fortunate of and our kids bought into and did a really nice job of. And I think when you talk about creating that true identity for us, right? We don't play JV games there. Everybody on our defense got graded. whether it was scout team this or our defensive scouts versus our offense. Everybody's got a piece of the pie. Everybody got graded. When you grade the scout team on nothing but effort, and you want to talk about identity and the habits, and we talk about all the time, everybody's got value. If that means going hard for 20 plays of practice against our starting left tackle to make sure that you're bettering and you're preparing him for what he's got to do on Saturday, that's the role that you have. But your role is, because we don't play JV, to play to our standard on a consistent daily basis, whether you're down with us or whether you're down with the scout team. I think that understanding, that attention to detail as it relates to your whole defense as a whole, I thought was something that served us very, 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 very well. And we talk about the identity, making it about everybody, being inclusive with it, providing autonomy, and now putting the ownership after you've set the standard in training camp to be able to make it work. I thought it was powerful stuff.
Here are our Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. 1. Establish clear standards and expectations. Set specific standards and expectations for your players regarding effort, tackling, and takeaways. Consistently reinforce these standards during practice and games to create a culture of high performance and accountability. 2. Give players ownership and rely on peer leadership. Foster a sense of ownership and responsibility among players by involving them in the evaluation process. Have players grade each other based on set criteria such as effort and execution to promote peer leadership and accountability within the team. And 3, provide consistent evaluation and feedback. Implement a system for tracking and evaluating player performance based on the established standards. Regularly review practice film with players to provide feedback, identify areas for improvement, and recognize top effort plays. This ongoing evaluation process helps reinforce the standards. If you're enjoying the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It helps other coaches find this podcast and helps us improve the game. Follow all we're doing at coachandcoordinator.com. You can sign up there for our weekly tips sheet, which runs down the best ideas of each episode, and follow us on X at Coach K Grabowski.